Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elizabeth Esty, the first thing I want to do is ask you about the MTA crash and rail safety. And I know all people in Connecticut are very concerned with this one. Tell us what you're seeing, whether the reaction to the carnage really has been satisfactory from the MTA, and whether or not you think that there's something more that needs to be done right away.
Well, it is a critically important issue for the health and safety of passengers who ride that every single day in my district and throughout our region. And as a member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which I fought very hard to get on this committee, and as a member of the Rail Subcommittee, you can imagine this is something of enormous interest and concern to me. I've been joining with colleagues. We've now sent several letters to the committee chairman and subcommittee chairman asking for rail safety hearings. Now, this is a consequence in part. I will tell you, we should have had hearings in October on the passenger rail safety bill, which was due for reauthorization. That didn't happen because of shutdown. And it's just one of the many things that happen, or frankly don't happen, when you have shutdown. So we are behind because of that. But now is the time to turn to try to get a rail safety hearing going. More needs to be done. More needs to be done. We need to look at, obviously, the labor rules involved. We need to look at safety on the tracks. We need reinvestment in the security of those rail beds. We need to be using technology in smart ways to help ensure that trains are moving through rapidly and safely. There are a lot of opportunities to do better, but they can't be done without bipartisan support and support from the American people for investing in critical transportation and infrastructure reinvestment, which is going to pay us dividends long term.
Is there a partisan divide on this one? I mean, it's easy. You come to things like banks or this or that. You know, you can pretty well figure out who's going to be where. But when it comes to something like, you know, rail safety, is there a partisan divide?
Not certainly much less partisan divide on this. The issue tends to come down to who's going to pay for it. So that is, we've got to find ways of funding, and that's where we aren't always able to get agreement. And sometimes issues about who's best positioned to decide and enforce the federal government or within, say, private companies that are running railroads. When you have Amtrak as sort of semi-private, semi-public, as to who's best positioned to make those decisions. But I think there is unified commitment here, bipartisan commitment, to do better. This is very important. It's important for safety and for predictability. And it's also important to rehab these lines, to upgrade them. And I will just give you an example. Those lines along the coast in Bridgeport, where was the accident last year, some of the overhead lines, the catenary lines, are 100 years old.
Wow.
And that's sort of an extraordinary duration to think that they're still working, but maybe not that well after 100 years. So we really do need to make important investments now, which will create jobs in the short term and, more importantly, economic growth in the long term.
Let me go from rail safety, which is terribly important, of course, to immigration. I know that that's something that we've all talked about so much. It looked like it was all sort of coming together for a little while. The Republicans got stung in the presidential election and did terribly in terms of the Hispanic vote. And it looked like there was some impetus from Boehner and others. Is there?
There ought to be. There ought to be. This is an area where I think there has been long-term, certainly I have a strong commitment to this. This is about fairness, and it's about who we are as American people. We're a nation of immigrants. It is a huge source of our energy and dynamism. I'll tell you, last week there was a meeting, a bipartisan meeting of the freshman members of Congress with Steve Case, the founder of AOL. And someone asked Steve, you know, what is the single most important thing we could do in Congress to help kickstart the American economy and improve our competitiveness in the world and encourage better innovation? And he said the number one thing we could and should be doing is immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform. And I think that I hear that from businesses, big and small, all across my district. I hear it from dreamers in my district, from families who want to be reunited, from young people who grew up in this country, maybe came as very small children, who really want to live the American dream. I hear this from university presidents who say, you know, we bring the best and the brightest, and frankly, federal tax dollars are used to invest in these folks, particularly in, say, the STEM fields and the scientific fields where we're critically undersupplied of great people right now, and we do not allow these folks to stay in this country when they want to. And that makes no sense. We have a completely broken system right now. We have 11 million undocumented workers, and we are losing opportunities for bright folks who want to live in this country, who want to be part of the American dream, and we don't allow them to do that. That makes no sense. So I'm hopeful that I've been working hard. I'm one of the co-sponsors of the House Comprehensive Immigration Bill, working hard to try to bring as much of this forward as we can. I think this ought to be an area of bipartisan support. I'm hearing rumblings that maybe we'll see something later this year, maybe June, July, possibly, that we might see some pieces of this, and I'll certainly be working very hard to push this through.
Is there a significant Hispanic vote within your district?
There certainly are pockets in our cities, and not just in the cities. Growing population throughout the country, as you know, and some real activists, some extraordinary young people out of Danbury, twins. Actually, I was listening to one of them on the radio this morning talking about efforts to improve access to higher ed for dreamers, for these young people who've grown up in the U.S. who want to stay here, who feel themselves to be entirely American. That's been their only experience in life, pretty much.
Something fascinating has been happening, which is that more people are going back to Mexico than coming this way. Has that influenced the debate at all, do you think?
I think it's helped illustrate how fluid the world has become. It's illustrated how global our society is and how important it is to have economic growth. I mean, the reason folks are going back to Mexico is a decreased opportunity for jobs of any kind here in the U.S., and that should be of concern to all of us. We want to have a growing economy, creating new jobs, good jobs, well-paid jobs for people here in this country, and that's a sign of stagnant growth, which we should be very concerned about.
So I want to ask you about the Water Resources Development Act. What's your interest in that?
Oh, about the lovely titled WERDA bill. My interest in that is in the nuts and bolts kind of legislation that Congress needs to be doing more of. As I said before, I serve on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and I have been part of the Water Resources Subcommittee. And so this committee works on nuts and bolts issues like dredging of harbors and ensuring that traffic moves, boat traffic moves through the Great Lakes and up and down the Mississippi River and the Missouri. This is absolutely fundamental nuts and bolts issues that our sewer systems work, that we're providing funding for clean water programs and sewage systems, the Army Corps of Engineers dredging programs. So this is the sort of area which ought to be happening and customarily did happen without any partisanship. But the truth is we had not had a bill go through since 2007 to fund these projects. And so I was very pleased to be part of an effort that we got overwhelming bipartisan support. The week after the shutdown, over 400 members of Congress voting for this bill and only three against it. And it's the kind of bipartisan work we need to do, nuts and bolts, improving things for the American people, creating jobs, and facilitating sort of economic growth.
Now, we only have a minute, but I wanted to ask you this, following up on that. When you see West Virginia, you know, an oil spill or a chemical spill that shuts, is this something we can look forward to more in the United States, or do you think this is just an aberration?
Well, I think it underscores the importance of having infrastructure that's working well and of keeping track of things, that there are consequences when you let systems fall apart. There are consequences when you don't keep track of public health and safety issues. These are big issues, actually, in my district. So, for example, I had the Army Corps of Engineers colonel for the region come in and look at issues in Torrington where they're trying to deal with levee vegetation, something that's, again, it may sound not very glamorous, but it's pretty darn important to Torrington when they're trying to improve their cityscape and the livability of the downtown, being able to fish in the rivers. So these are fundamental issues that I think, again, we need to reengage from the local community state and national level to work together as better partners.
We've been talking with Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, a Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District within our district, and we are delighted that you've come and honored us by talking to us. When we come back again, I got lots more questions for you.
Terrific. Thanks, Alan.